Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. This is an important show because there's a big fraud going on, and you have to be aware of what it is. The mainstream channels for crypto discussions are hungry. They want regulations. They want you to believe that the whole crypto market is in crash when, in fact, it's in the regular bear market between halvenings. And they want you to believe that the government is going to fix this with more legislation. And most importantly, the players on the side of the losing side of FTX, they are out for vengeance. And somehow they want to bring everyone down with them. Like real chaotic narcissist, if I can't have it, you guys can't either. They want to go about not, they don't want to go after people like SBF. They want to go against people who didn't need regulatory discipline to have financial discipline, which is someone like CZ at Binance. This guy has been honest and delivering withdrawals to people in the most efficient way, low fees. He's been delivering the best service in the centralized crypto business for the last, I don't know, has it been 10 years now, Binance? And he's always been trustable, didn't need to be regulated. To the contrary, I would argue that his greatness is in fleeing. It's because there are no places where he can be totally known to be, that it makes him a more trustable entity than all of those others who are easily kidnappable, easily imprisonable by the politicians and by the legislator. And so we're going to see an interview, and we're going to see this bullshitter. I call him E. Kramer, because he's kind of the Kramer equivalent on YouTube. So the guy who makes bad calls about stocks, the guy who tells you don't buy a Tesla when it's low, and he tells you buy Tesla when it's high, the guy who has been promoting FTX, and now he's trying to seed fear, uncertainty, and doubt around Binance. Let me tell you what's happening right now. There is a concerted attempt by those people around FTX to avenge FTX and crash Binance. They are currently trying to get you in fear so that you withdraw your belongings from Binance and that Binance eventually crashes under the pressure of a bank run. That's what's happening right now. End of the line, Joel says, I wonder, will Trump have another major announcement next week and ends up launching MAGACoin? Amazingly, yesterday I covered the fact that Donald Trump was announcing a big announcement. So everyone was like, oh, maybe it's going to be Donald Trump announces his presidential run. And my comment on this on Gab was, it's happening. Major announcement, my official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. These limited edition cards feature amazing art of my life and career. Collect all of your favorite Trump digital trading cards, very much like a baseball card, but hopefully much more exciting. Go to collecttrumpcards.com. and get your cards now. Only $99 each would make a great Christmas gift. Don't wait, they will be gone, I believe, very quickly. Trump is releasing an NFT collection of himself. It is the timing is horrible. Everything is boomer and cringe about this. The timing is bad. You don't release an NFT collection in a bear market. And you look at the quality of the cards. They are artistically, just objectively invalid. It's just the head of Trump just sticked in Photoshop over the body of some cartoon character. I can't believe this. This was his major announcement. People are asking about FUD. What is it? FUD is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It just means smearing of a generally a financial company for the purpose of people being afraid of that company and saying, oh, I need to pull my money out. Now, Rastory has an hilarious article, which is good for a change, about Baked Alaska. MAGA rioter cannot believe he's going to jail for Trump after watching the trading card stunt. I can't believe I'm going to jail for an NFT salesman. That's what I mean, that's what Trump is. Trump was an NFT salesman before NFTs existed. Trump is all about, hey, take my face or take my name and put it on there. And we're going to do a lot of money. We're going to make a lot of business. Listen, the cards are horrible. I don't see why you would want to. I think that the fair value of those cards is way below $99. That's my opinion. I will not be buying the Trump NFTs. I want to review the full video of the guy I call E. Kramer, who is Meet Kevin. But before this, I will just cover the most important news quickly. Banks have frozen the funds of pro-free speech video platform BitChute. So BitChute apparently in trouble on the traditional banking side. That really sucks, but that is what it is. And I think that BitChute has committed some kind of a mistake by wanting to be a regulated European entity. Starting a video server for edgy videos that get banned elsewhere. The worst place you can do this is in Europe, and eventually they would get to them. Now, that doesn't mean that the BitChute platform is gone, so I'm happy that BitChute is still alive. But I don't know to which extent this banning from traditional banking, at least with their current bank accounts, I don't know if there will be replacement, if they will find a solution to get out of it, but that is the situation. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Don't forget to add a payment method to your Odyssey account if you'd like to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. I'm coughing today. I don't know why. And I wanted to talk about Entropy. They need help. So I've always been very favorable to Entropy. I've been happy about their service. They've been delivering every month. They send the money that the creator has accumulated in super chats. Very fair, very free speech. And they've been having a hard job, which is to develop a parallel system for super chats, especially for streamers who get banned from the monetization of YouTube, or for smaller streamers, or for streamers who want to benefit from a lower rate of profit, because YouTube takes 30%, Entropy takes much less, I believe 15, so much fairer for the creators. And right now they are calling for help. 2022 has been a tough year for a lot of people, us included. We're being faced with a tough decision about whether we can continue to develop Entropy full time. If you are interested in supporting us, we've opened a subscription that will go towards allowing us to continue developing the platform. Subscribers will also get a special badge that shows up across the site in gratitude for your support. So if you like the endeavor of Entropy, go ahead and support them. It would be a great Christmas gift to them. And I support Entropy. Now, Entropy is not my main platform anymore because they haven't enabled the idea of integrating the Odyssey video to Entropy. it's mostly a YouTube-centric platform, and as such, I cannot make it my main platform, but I've always been very supportive of them because they've been open at welcoming people who are the subject of censorship and to develop a parallel monetary pathway for creator that was so important. So whatever happens going forward, I hope they get the support that they are demanding from the public. But no matter what happens, they were critical and they have been developing a critical option for creator at a critical time. Go Away says, I'm going to buy my 3-year-old nephew an Entropy support subscription for Christmas. See, a gift for a young child. I mean, that's what you want to do. You go for it. I wanted to talk about something else. I've spoken with Christopher Cantwell. I've spoken with Christopher Cantwell today. He has been in jail for a long time. He told me the amount of time, but now I've exited my Skype account. Now, I want to apologize first. He had sent me a message 15 days ago, and just because I don't log on my Skype, generally, unless I have something to do with it, I had left the message unanswered. Christopher Cantwell is now in a house of transition where he's getting ready to exit the jail. he will be appearing on the show. I've invited him on the show. He got sentenced to 41 months, and now he's been spending 35 of his months in jail. So that's, my God, it's 3 years. He's been 3 years in jail. You gotta be kidding me. And he will very soon be out of his house of transition, halfway house, yes. And he will be on the show here. I want to talk to him and see what was life in prison like. I don't know much about what led him to be in jail other than it's Charlottesville related. And for what was he imprisoned? If I remember correctly, it's in the Charlottesville protest. There was some physical aggression, maybe. There was pepper spray sent toward him, and there may have been some self-defense actions. And I don't know exactly, so I'm not going to claim here that I know. I'm going to ask him directly. I'd rather speak directly with the guy. So whenever he has access to a computer, we're going to make it happen, a show with him. Not only this, next week I'm going on Mark Collett, and it will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. UK Time. I will be hanging out with David Duke and Mark Collett. I'm super excited about this one. This will be on Wednesday the 21st. By the way, on Wednesday the 21st will also be our Patreon and Subscribe starring out. So that's 3 shows on Wednesday. And then on the 24th, I will be on The Millennials. So we're going to have discussions with our old friends. Tuttle Grimm says he was attacked by some trolls when he tried to fire back at them. They ratted him out to the feds. Yeah, I suspect that it was that kind of thing. So amazing week next week. Don't miss it. I want to now recommend a product if you want to buy those for Christmas for your family. Absolutely fantastic. I'm super satisfied. The Lenovo Tab M7 Gen 3. It's a backwards, tablet. It's an old tablet. But what I find interesting about it, it's price. You can get basically all of the functionality of an Android tablet, like a phone, but it's just, you buy it not as a phone, you buy it as a phone that will not have access to satellites and phone communication other than through Wi-Fi. For $100, you have the perfect mini computer that behaves like a phone. Perfect for children. You can buy it with a wrap around it that protects it against shocks. Perfect for the family. I've been buying one also to make a display. I wanted just a display that tells me certain information about the state of my security, and I won't say exactly what it is, but basically I needed just a old computer that could do that job of warning me of a certain of security based and safety based aspects of my house. The Lenovo Tab is perfect for this. It's perfect for the little job and for giving to kids. I've been super satisfied. If you have a kid, you know, that is growing and eventually they get to an age where they absolutely want your phone. Well, you give them this tab and you get out of trouble. Forex Shark says, that's like a burner tablet. Exactly. That's why you can buy many of those and you can have all sorts of functionality of the kind that you wouldn't pay $1,000 for. Like, I wouldn't pay $1,000 to just have a display in my kitchen. But $100? Absolutely, I will. So that's why I recommend this product, although I am not sponsored by any of Lenovo, or I'm not sponsored by anyone, indeed. Shell Burns says, I spoke to Chris during the trial. Oh yeah, did you? Total Grimm says, Cantwell was the catalyst for the creation of the public space. I guess you could say that he had an impact. If you see it through the eyes of he came on the Blood Sports on Warski Live and Warski wasn't very fit to interview that kind of people, and the public space was a more fit space to get to the bottom of their thoughts. Last news item before we begin the review of the whole smearing that's happening around Binance. This is the actual cover of the New York Post. Harry Plotter. New York Post. You're right. There is something to be said about how SBF had certain hair of certain style, you know, extremely spread out, extremely curly, extremely puffed, if you will. He was a Harry Plotter. This is the kind of terms I would have loved to think about as a title of one of my videos. But it's the mainstream media now that is engaging in the relationship between hair and plotting. There is a relationship, but I won't tell you which one. Justin, Kevin O'Leary testifies at Senate hearing and says Binance put FTX out of business. This is the kind of discourse that the mainstream, Democrat, FTX-related, an anti-crypto sphere wants you to believe. Kevin O'Leary is delivering to them exactly what they want to hear. Listen to this.
Binance is a massive, unregulated, global monopoly now. They put FTX out of business. Binance is a massive, unregulated, global monopoly now. They put FTX out of business. Binance is a mass.
This is the message that they will coordinate to push in the media in the coming weeks. They want to crash the whole of crypto. They want to argue that the FTX collapse wasn't because of FTX and SBF. It was because of the whole environment of crypto, and especially we must regulate Binance. This is exactly what they're there to deliver. And Kevin O'Leary, what a creep, what a sewer rat is this guy. When he was arguing against regulation on Shark Tank for many years, he's always been anti-regulation. Suddenly Kevin O'Leary likes regulation. Suddenly he wishes it on Binance. That doesn't come from a good place in his heart. He wants to impose regulation on Binance because he has subscribed to the paranoid interpretation of SBF that somehow Binance is responsible for the failure of FTX. he wants to have an enemy out there, CZ from Binance, which he can point to as being responsible for his own incompetence in trusting FTX and in investing in FTX. John Drake says you should watch the interview Kevin did on CNBC. JF, they kill him. I'm about to watch a CNBC interview about Binance. It's not from Kevin O'Leary, though. I'm going to watch the Meet Kevin review of the CNBC interview. This person on Twitter has the proper counter to this. According to Bahamian court records, former co-CEO FTX official Ryan Salameh blew the whistle, Kevin O'Leary, not CZ from Binance. Page 49. Now please stop damaging this ecosystem with your speculation. Exactly. They want to take the whole ecosystem down with them, and I don't know if they'll succeed at doing it to Binance. My guess is not. My guess is if CZ has his accounting done properly and he's been honest and he's been doing it correctly and honestly, I guess that they will fail. What CZ from Binance says is there is no amount of withdrawal that would put us in trouble. I like what I hear. I want this to be true. But look at the kind of bullshit they're pulling, this Meet Kevin guy. And this is exactly what censorship leads to. It's that the interesting thinkers are already banned from social media platforms, so you cannot get critical review. So you end up with incompetence like Meet Kevin, a massive self-promoter of all sorts of university, crap university courses, like all sorts of come and join Kevin and subscribe to the Hustlers University crap. This guy is showing his ignorance in the whole video, so we're going to review it in full. He doesn't understand what a liability is. He doesn't understand what a debt is. He doesn't understand Coinbase. He doesn't understand audits. And yet he spews his ignorance in the hope of creating a crypto collapse. And that's where, when you title like this, crypto collapse, are we in a crypto collapse? We're not. We're in a crypto bear market. Everyone knew it was going to happen. If you think we're in a crypto collapse, you don't understand what's going on. And so it's certainly not a factual report, but what I think it is Meet Kevin has been hired, just like Kevin O'Leary, to, or maybe they self-hired or they self-dedicated to this cause, for crashing the rest of the Bitcoin market, for seeding fear, uncertainty, and doubt toward honest players like CZ from Binance. And you can show that, you can see that he doesn't have an argument through the lack of quality in this video, where he mistakes certain terms, he shows his ignorance, and I'm going to expose it in full. The redundant contrarian says he took a $15 million bribe and was so damn smart he left it on the exchange. Okay, who are you talking about, though? Is it SBF? John Drake says the conspiracy guy in me thinks this whole thing could have been planned by the CIA or the like. Oh, absolutely. This looks like a centrally controlled psyop. It's not out of random that you have CNBC hammering onto Binance at the same time as you have Meet Kevin hammering onto Binance, at the same time you have Kevin O'Leary hammering onto Binance, when in fact Binance hasn't shown any reason to be that would make us suspicious of Binance. So I think it's a centrally controlled activity. I don't know if Kevin O'Leary is the mastermind behind it. Could be something like an intelligence agency of some kind is involved. Let's look at what these poor guys who, you know, he has 1.8 million subscribers, but he only does 67,000 views on this video. To me, that looks like a guy who doesn't have an actual audience. To me, that looks like a guy who truly benefits from the disappearance of the dislike button on YouTube. See? No dislike button available. I cannot see how much people downvoted this video. So I can I'm given no clue by YouTube that this guy is a scam, and that's what he is.
Be transparent. We want to set the golden standard for reliability, solidness in this space.
So do it. Would you be able to handle it if somebody asked you for $2.1 billion back? Would that be okay? Would you be able to still withstand things?
An extremely dishonest question. Like, hey, John Drake. Hey, Forex Shark. Could you handle someone taking $2.1 billion from your account and taking it for themselves? This question takes for granted that some amount of money could be taken from Binance. She's not talking about the potential withdrawals, by the way. In the context of the interview, she's talking about the fact that Binance has legitimately and legally sold its shares in FTX months before FTX crashed. And they were paid for it. They were paid at the time of the sales. Now, this is a sales that has been performed. Whether that led to the bankruptcy or not doesn't matter to CZ. As long as CZ has been engaging in a honest dealing here and he signed the contract and he got the payment, there is no reason. Shady Jesus says 1.9K downvotes, by the way, JF. I'm not surprised. Almost as much as the likes. And in fact, if the downvote counter was there, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 10K downvotes. But unfortunately, once you remove the counter, you tell the audience it's not worth it to click on the dislike button. So this $2.1 billion is a hypothetical in the head of this woman, who believes that since Binance sold its share in FTX before the bankruptcy, that it's possible that the bankruptcy court would seek to reobtain this $2.1 billion from Binance. But that is a long shot. You would have to have a legal case that goes to... And Binance would have it say in this. They could argue, hey, we didn't know that FTX was going to crash. We just sold our share because we didn't want it anymore. And they insisted that it was important for them to buy back our shares. So we did. If nothing wrong has been done, if nothing fraudulent has been done in the process, it's very possible that Binance could get out of such an hypothetical future legal case with zero obligations. They wouldn't take a dollar back from this transaction. So it's a very long shot to be asking this question and to be putting CZ on the grill. Could you handle $2.1 billion less in your account? Well, who can? Can Kevin O'Leary handle $2.1 billion less in his bank account? Forex Shark says it would be very arbitrary to go after only Binance for selling FTT. Exactly. What about all of the customers who have withdrawn Bitcoin from FTX successfully in the last few years, in the last few months between the sales of Binance and the crash? Are these people, do they have to return their Bitcoin? It would be only in very grave situations in which they could prove that CZ knew that the crash was coming and they have conspired together to make sure that the money would be transferred to CZ first. That would be what we call bankruptcy fraud. We're not in front of a case like this. So this question is already dishonest. And now it gets featured as the little clip that Meet Kevin uses as the beginning of his video to cause this freaking ridiculous crypto collapse. Rudy Lucid says, how many times has Nancy Pelosi sold shares of something just before its price dipped? And shouldn't she also be forced to repay that money? It gets ridiculous. It gets ridiculous, but that's why the hypothetical of the woman is absolutely in a parallel reality. We're not there.
We're financially okay.
Including you have $2.1 billion to give away if somebody came to claw that back?
You don't know that this will happen, lady. Do you know the standard of evidence to reach a finding of bankruptcy court, a finding of bankruptcy fraud in a criminal proceeding? That's what you would have to meet. You don't know this. Don't ask anyone if they have $2.1 billion available. CZ, of course, and SARS were financially stable. It's fine.
You'll be fine?
We'll let the lawyer handle it. We are financially strong.
So here CZ says, well, if that was to happen, we would have a lawyer handle it. What he means by this is, hey, woman, and of course, him being Chinese, he doesn't express it in the most fluent way. But what he really means is, hey, woman, you're accusing me of a crime right now that I haven't committed. If it was to happen that I'm accused of bankruptcy fraud and that they want $2.1 billion back, I would have a lawyer that would represent me and that would defend me in this case. Do you think you could reach a threshold of demonstration? I don't think so. But look at this. The lady puts her eyes to the sky, makes like, oh my God, what a terrible answer.
CNBC just absolutely destroyed CZ from Binance. If you still...
They didn't. They explored an extremely unlikely hypothetical.
If you still had any trust left for CZ, it should be gone after this interview. It is so...
And what about our trust left in you, Meet Kevin? You have directed your users. You have told your users to deposit at FTX. You have promoted FTX. You have promoted all sorts of craps throughout your career. You have a much worse record than CZ. You have a demonstrated record of sending your audience to lose their money that they already have. It's not even that you make them believe in unrealistic gains. You send them toward frauds. That's why you're like Kramer. That's why you're the electronic Kramer.
So evasive and disgusting. And it follows a Bloomberg article from November where we were told that individuals who have tried to sue Binance.com have found that it's almost impossible to sue them because the Binance platform is not owned by any company or other legal entity.
Absolutely. That's what I want. Because in the modern world, being subject to regulations is more dangerous than me having a right to sue Binance. I don't care about my right to sue Binance. You know why, Kevin? Because I can never afford a suit against Binance. So it's all about trust. And I want Binance to be located in the cloud in some nebulous position where people can't even find where they would want to generate a law that would apply to Binance. That's exactly how I want my crypto to be, Kevin. I want it to be delocalized.
It's owned by a litany of companies, and it's potential.
I want a tree of companies that is impenetrable, that every government looks at and they're like, by where do we start? I want these companies to be fully fluid and where exactly the money is, where exactly is CZ. I want all of this to flow like a liquid.
Essentially just all owned by CZ, but nobody knows how to actually even sue the right company or organization.
Look at FTX. Did it serve them well to be localizable? Did it serve them well to be prosecutable? Did it serve them well to be ultimately subject to Western legislation? It didn't. Because SBF ended up being convinced by his technocrat little parasite vulture lawyers to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which made it so that no one can get money back until the lawyers are paid, until the fees are paid. And that may be all of the money.
Because it's so arcanely orchestrated. So it's no surprise that it's
I want the arcanity. It's a feature, not a bug.
company is operated out of the Cayman Islands, and that Bloomberg here suggests that maybe he's avoiding even visiting the United States because if he shows up to the United States, he fears he might be arrested. Or
exactly. I don't want my crypto boss to be, and I'm not saying that CZ is my boss, I'm saying he's the boss of crypto. He's the boss of centralized crypto right now. I don't want my crypto boss to ever put foot in the United States. Are you insane? This guy is too good. They're going to get at him. They're going to try taxing him. They're going to try to catch him criminally for unrelated stuff like they did to Julian Assange. It's like, oh, this guy happens to be a journalist exposing U.S. war crimes. He goes into some kind of Western civilization European country. Suddenly, two women claim that they got raped by him. This is what they're going to pull on a CZ, of course. I can't imagine CZ raping a woman, but they can.
Or a quote like this: there are other signs of CZ's pivot to conventionality might not be entirely urgent. The day of the interview, CZ said a reporter could visit.
I don't want CZ to pivot toward conventionality. Conventionality means I'm going to be exposed to exactly the same fraud and the same risks as centralized banking. CZ still sweats DeFi. He still sweats decentralization through the way he centralizes. And so that's all I need as a service in the crypto industry. Eric Oliver has sent a super chat on Entropy. He says, is it called regulatory capture when big business lobbies government to make rules that hurt your competitors or potential future competitors, or is it another words? I would have to check the exact definition of regulatory capture. I've heard the term many times before, but in politics, regulatory capture, also agency capture and client politics, is a form of corruption of authority that occurs when a political entity, policymaker, or regulator is co-opted to serve the commercial, ideological, or political interest of a minor constituency, such as a particular geographic area, etc. Well, I think it's a perfect term. It's what they're trying to do. I wouldn't say that regulatory capture has occurred yet, but that is exactly what they want. They are trying to establish regulatory capture of Binance, and hopefully they fail. Not that at this point I don't have much assets at Binance, because I've been telling you guys before all of this smear started, I actually pulled my money out of centralized exchange as a whole. And there is some degree of outflow at Binance at this point. Can Binance sustain? I believe they can, but I'm not going to bet my assets on it, you see. But I still use Binance regularly as a middleman to operate transactions, to facilitate a ramp in or a ramp out for my money. To receive payments, to receive donations, indeed. I trust Binance. But is there a day in the year where they will fail and where there will be a massive bank run? That I don't know. So that's why I'm not leaving massive amounts of assets at the same time and for long periods. Now, that being said, I still want to debunk this guy, because although I do not leave assets at Binance as a form of protection against the very nature of centralized entity, the fact is that this guy and Kevin O'Leary are trying to make something happen through fear and doubt. They're trying to seed doubt to make it happen. FTX didn't collapse through fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It collapsed under its own fraud. You're trying to get a company that hasn't been demonstrated to have committed fraud, you're trying to get it to fall. That's disgusting, because you have nothing to win in the process other than your petty vengeance for choosing the wrong side in this crypto war.
Dubai office they had. But after a flurry of emails, calls, and texts during which assistants and PR consultants made an array of excuses, a Binance representative said that, oh, in fact, the office was closed because of a surge of COVID cases, which the reporters...
Now he's complaining that a reporter was promised an interview at the Dubai office, didn't get it. And they argued that the office was closed because of COVID. I don't know if it's true, but there are thousands of reasons why I would want to get away from a reporter who's writing hit pieces, and none of them have to do with the customer's funds being unsafe. See, there are reasons why Binance should be having a lack of trust toward those mainstream media, especially how they get treated by people like you. And they might hesitate to give an interview on that basis. And then I wouldn't blame them even if they lied about the COVID excuse. It's because you guys, you want to drag Binance. That's all you can do. You want to drag everything down. Tillman says, JF, do you think they are going after CZ because he's Chinese? No, they're going after CZ because he's honest. It's the world is reverted. They're not bashing on SBF. They're bashing on CZ. CZ has not collapsed. CZ is still honoring his withdrawals. I withdrew massive amounts of money from CZ in the last month. Every day he honors them. Massive amounts of money flow. They're going after the guy who didn't crash.
Found odd because CZ had made no reference to the disease during the interview, nor had anyone else at the company mentioned that COVID was an issue. Yet the previous day, Binance arranged a separate interview with the company's head of Middle Eastern operations, who showed up unmasked at a crowded hotel lobby where he appeared.
Well, yeah, maybe in a certain situation they were speaking to media, then they got doubtful about the intentions given the questions. They realized that that there was a hit piece being written about them, and they denied future interviews. That makes total sense. For someone who gets smeared in the media a lot, I totally understand this. You're like, okay, I'm going to show some openness, and then they smear you once, and then you're like, should I really answer to the second guy? Because it's all for more negative exposure. Do I really want more negative exposure?
Appeared to be conducting in-person meetings in the lobby rather than at any of their offices. But forget Bloomberg. Maybe Bloomberg's wrong. Let's just hear directly from the man himself. This $2.1 billion that Becky Quick asks for is a...
This is where you get in the place where you realize this guy does not even have an understanding of the basic facts of the affair. Doesn't have an understanding of the basic economical concepts at play, where he will mistake this $2.1 billion with something else. So the $2.1 billion claimed here is about what Binance would have been paid for selling its share of FTX. We talked about it in previous shows. They had a share in FTX. FTX wanted them out. They were tired with CZ. CZ was too secret, which is a feature, not a bug. CZ must be secret. I hope his name is not actually CZ. You see? Richard Williams says, you don't get it, JF. CZ may have crossed state lines. I hope he doesn't. I hope he stays in a single state always. Stay safe, CZ. So the $2.1 billion would have been what Binance gets paid to abandon and forego its share of FTX so that FTX can pursue its very, mainstream regulatory dreams. Because those mainstream regulatory dreams were essentially at odds with Binance functioning, with CZ's secrecy. Now, that's a real tension, and that deserves payment. Because Binance has invested early in FTX to build it as an alternative platform, and they got paid the fair price, which is what was needed for them to buy back their shares of FTX.
reference to $2.1 billion that they received potentially from FTX, the obviously now bankrupt crypto exchange.
The fact that it's now bankrupt has nothing to do, and unless demonstrated otherwise in a court of law, has no impact on the bankruptcy. And the bankruptcy cannot say, oh, well, let's travel back into the past and take that money away from Binance. The standard of proof to get there is extremely far. It would have to be the case that CZ was somehow in it, was conspiring along with SBF, and they would have decided to hide to the investors that their money were being directed toward Binance. We are very far from any claims of that kind. So it's like I was starting to theorize that you're a rapist. Meet Kevin. Well, look, he's a guy. He has hands. I can totally see these hands getting into the toward the ass of a woman without her consent. Well, okay, but I haven't demonstrated anything. I've just evoked a possibility. Of all the possibilities, you haven't reached the criminal threshold in CZ's case.
Thanks to the blatant fraud of Sam Bankman-Fried running out of liquidity at his trading firm Alameda Research and then deciding to use...
See how he says blatant fraud of FTX? That's just to say, oh yeah, by the way, guys, I'm recognizing that SBF has done something wrong here. It's like he's telling his audience, which months earlier, he was counseling them to go toward FTX. He was sending the cows in. He was sending them to FTX to lose all of their money. And now it's like, oh yeah, the blatant fraud that was committed by SBF.
Use customer assets instead. So obviously when CZ says, yeah, we got $2.1 billion from FTX, but we're not exactly sure where that money is now, or we kind of forgot about it, wasn't really important to us.
Even after the FTT price dropped over the last year, we still had $500 million worth of it.
So here CZ is making a very specific statement. He says last year, because he got paid partly through FTT, the token of FTX, he said that he has always kept those tokens and that even after the initial drop of price of FTT, he still had $580 million of them. $580 million worth of FTT token. So that's just a partial sum. It was obviously not the full sum of the payment for the buyback of the FTX shares, but it was a wallet that he preserved with FTT in it.
$180 million worth of it on the day when we transferred from the address we received a year and a half ago. We never touched it. We actually...
So he left it in the wallet.
Kind of forgot about it.
And he says we kind of forgot about it. Now, eventually he got to sell them because eventually he has announced that he was getting rid of any investment in the FTT token. And he was this is what started what SBF claims is a smear campaign aimed at intentionally causing a bank run at FTX. But here, Meet Kevin doesn't seem to understand that it's not because it was full amount in the wallet a year ago that is still the case today. He's talking in the past tense here.
It kind of makes you wonder, if FTX had terrible accounting practices, why doesn't CZ know where the money is?
Well, wait a minute here. CZ didn't just admit or acknowledge that he didn't know where the money is. CZ said that he had some FTT token that he let them sleep in a wallet and kind of forgot about it. Now, when you say kind of forgot about it, that doesn't mean literally forgetting about it. It's a term, by the way, in cooking, Meet Kevin. When you say forget about the pan, that means just let it cook for a long time and don't think about it too much. Now, Kevin wants us to believe that this is an illustration of a lack of proper accounting practices at Binance. It is not. That is absolutely ridiculous. What CZ just admitted is he didn't care about his FTT tokens. Doubting Thomas says, JF, regarding Cantwell, Be aware that he's been demonstrated to be a provocateur. Aside from your interaction in Charlottesville, he previously was forwarding the idea that if libertarians want to live in a free society, they should all organize on one day to violently resist the police. Okay, I don't care. I don't care about this, these little things. I don't care.
And do they actually have that money? After all, they retweet on Twitter that, oh, don't worry, look, we have like 60...
Now, he's just making a transition here. Notice. He's saying CZ didn't know where his FTT token were, which is already a straw man. CZ knew where they were. He just said he forgot about it in the sense of, I didn't care about it for a long time. Now, he took this and he transformed this into a straw man, which is CZ has poor accounting practices. And now he's moving on to, seemingly, he's moving on to the whole assets of Binance, which is a completely different question.
$50 billion in cold wallets. Well, why then are total debts listed as NA? And
well, this is obviously a display that was prepared for the future of Binance. They have calculated their total assets. They have the list of the Bitcoin accounts they have. They have the list of all of the blockchains they have access to. And they say our total assets are $62 billion. Obviously, they haven't yet updated their total debts, and so for now it's written as NA. It doesn't mean that he's trying to hide them, it just means it is not available yet publicly. There are all sorts of other crypto exchanges where we don't know even the total assets. So why would you complain that at least he gives you a count of his known controlled assets? At least he gives you that. Okay, we would wish to see the total debts. You could appeal here to a transparency and call CZ to say, hey, I want to see total debts also. But you have more information in this number than for many of these other exchanges that are alternatives to Binance. So I'm much more confident in Binance than I am in an exchange that doesn't show any of these numbers.
And why are you defining net worth as the same thing as an asset? Net worth, which is equity...
He's not defining the net worth as the same thing as an asset. He's obviously, he has just one of the three numbers. And obviously, this display has been adapted so that in the future, when he does fit the total debts in, he's going to be able to subtract this from this, and it's going to give the net worth count at the end. This is obviously just a en attendant display. It's a display until more information becomes available. For now, it doesn't have all of the information to do the subtraction.
Equals assets minus debts. But if you're refusing to reveal the debts, then this is a totally blatant.
This is picking on so much details. You could go to any of the other crypto companies. I don't know of a single one that displays its total assets. So you're really complaining against CZ going out of his way to give you a little more information already than all crypto companies that I've ever met. Do you have the total assets of local Bitcoins, Meet Kevin? Did you have the total assets of FTX when you were promoting them? I don't know of any crypto company that gives their total assets like this. Across all blockchains, a sum of this? Are you crazy? I've never seen such a number.
Blatant misdirection. Now, you might be thinking, but Kevin, maybe they don't have any debts. Ah, but that's not actually what CZ says.
And here we enter the misunderstanding of the meaning of the term debt by Meet Kevin. And it's shameful.
But thus far, you haven't disclosed your liabilities. And I wonder...
So notice here the difference. The host is asking questions about liabilities. There's a massive difference between liability and debt. debt is only one of the type of liabilities you can have. Liabilities can be really any obligations, including, for instance, obligations toward your customers to have kept their Bitcoin if they trusted you with it. That's not a debt, but it's an obligation, so it's a liability.
Why that is, and whether you will.
Yeah, so we are working with firms to do the audit of financials.
So see, already CZ gives you an answer for the total debt and total claimable side of his display. He's currently working with companies to update those numbers and give a good number to display.
Liabilities, etc.
Okay, so you have liabilities. You just don't...
See, Meet Kevin was talking about debt, and he moves the goalpost from debt to liability. Oh, so you have liabilities. Well, I hope he has liabilities. If he doesn't have liabilities, that means he doesn't have depositors. Of course, an exchange will have liabilities. It's not a bad thing, you fucking idiot. It's what an exchange must have. He must have some obligations toward its customers. DK Shadow says, yep, even GameSpot pre-orders are considered liabilities. Exactly. Any obligation that you have is a liability. But Meet Kevin believes that, oh, it's a big reveal. You have liabilities. I have a liability when someone says, Jeff, I want to buy an exemplary of your next book. They give me money. I have a liability. I must send them a book. CZ from Binance has liabilities because he has a lot of customers. So a lot of liability.
Don't want to tell us what those liabilities are. Now, what could...
Well, did FTX tell us their liabilities, Kevin? And you promoted them. Do you have the total debts of FTX 6 months ago when you were promoting them?
Could possibly help us reveal what kind of assets and liabilities they actually have. How about an audit? What does CZ have to say?
I'm not super fascinated by audits. You know why? Among other things, because FTX was audited and it passed. FTX.us accounting firm Armanino ends crypto audit practice. FTX was audited. It was all fine. They had the stamp. You're fine. You can go on with your business. And now the company that was auditing FTX is closing its crypto services. They're saying, oh no, we're not going to audit crypto companies anymore because we're actually starting to ruin our own reputation because of our incompetence in the crypto domain. People think we're incompetent everywhere. But an audit, that's the problem with an audit. It's like, will you ever know that the person you audited has given you the right numbers? As long as you don't see the Bitcoin keys. That's one of the big problems of crypto, is that the control of the entire Bitcoin amount lies on seeing those 12 words that form your private key. But seeing those 12 words would be allowing you to steal those Bitcoins. So either the auditor has a proof that these wallets are controlled, but then he cannot tell you for sure that these wallets won't be moved eventually. He cannot tell you anything about the future. Or the auditor is only believing numbers that are given to him, and then he's not truly verifying. It's a hard business to be verifying crypto companies and auditing them.
Say about an audit.
But audits don't reveal every problem. So
no, but
CZ is absolutely right here. Audits don't reveal any problem. You want a proof? FTX was audited. FTX, they were playing with client funds, but they passed an audit.
But an audit from a big four auditor would reveal that, CZ. If you could get a big four auditor to say that, if you're saying that some of them don't want to work with...
What is this woman talking about with the big four auditors? I don't want them to put their dirty hands in a working business, which is Binance. Are you crazy? You're gonna reveal information to the U.S. deep state. Forget it. If you let yourself be audited by these friends of American power, you're going to end up revealing so much information that the U.S. government can then fall onto your head. DK Shadow says, the Big Four. You must respect the Big Four. I don't want the Big Four. Go away, Big Four.
With you, that raises questions, too. They don't want to work with you because you don't have the files and the data that would make...
And she's now suggesting that, oh, the Big Four have refused to work with you. This must be because you're not trustable. Unbelievable.
Make them feel comfortable signing off and giving that stamp of approval?
Actually, many of them don't even know how to audit crypto exchanges. So
there's your problem. What will these normie boomers do when they're faced with the empire of CZ, which is based in obscurity and based in true security? They won't know how to understand it. Rodilacid says, hey, JF, we need to audit your security. Can you give me your Wi-Fi password? Exactly. That's what it is. They want to get their dirty hands in there. And eventually, oh, what do you know? The FBI knows where CZ is suddenly. Of course.
When they audit, they're very used to auditing a firm.
Just take a moment here to appreciate Becky Quick's reaction, and then we'll keep going.
Many of them don't even know how to audit crypto exchanges.
Now, if only there were another...
They don't. You want the proof? FTX was audited. So they really don't.
Crypto exchange that was publicly listed on the NASDAQ and regulated by the SEC requiring audits, which would mean there was an auditing company that was probably a Big Four auditing company, you know, like a Deloitte, that existed. If all
like this guy talks as if he understood any of, like a Big Four, like a Deloitte. there's a problem. These auditing companies have audited FTX, and FTX passed. So what do we do with this? What do we do with the fact that no matter what kind of audit you want to impose to CZ and Binance, the next day he can run with the crypto keys and it's all his, because not your keys, not your coins.
Only there was such a company that existed.
Does Coinbase CZ? Coinbase has a Big Four. Coinbase has a Big Four auditor.
So they're talking about Coinbase has been audited, therefore you can do it. It's a little more complicated than this. Coinbase is more like is less of a trading platform from a leverage perspective and more of a, oh yeah, I want to buy Bitcoin. So it's a wallet, really. Coinbase is a commercial wallet where you can buy bitcoins.
I don't look at Coinbase. We don't really look at.
I think
other,
so, though.
I don't know the details.
So they understand it well
Deloitte
enough.
Deloitte is the auditor right. for Coinbase.
Deloitte is the auditor for Coinbase. Deloitte equals one of Big Four. Where is this? Where is this new standard that appears to have been invented for the purpose of this video only? I have never heard this. The Big Four, and if you're outside of the Big Four, you don't count. This is not a threshold I've been hearing about before.
So they can figure
they do have some experience.
So I want you to put together the web of lies that we just saw. Now,
the thing is, if the Coinbase CEO tomorrow morning decides to open the safe, take the crypto keys, run with it, we're done. It's going to be as much of a crash as FTX. There's not a way Deloitte or any of your Big Fours can protect against this. Naberius says auditors find what they want to find. Forex Shark says, when you are innovating, it's very difficult for someone else to come in and audit your work. I've had auditors tell me to implement bugs into our system because they didn't understand it. Yeah, and so at the in the end, it's what you deliver should result in some amount of trust. And that's the basis on which I interact with Binance. If you were to audit Binance, that wouldn't increase my security at all. Because in the end, it would matter to me whether CZ is the kind of guy who's intelligent enough to put together a system to keep the keys private, or if he's dishonest enough to run with them. That's all that matters.
I believe to be web of lies, okay? I can't know with certainty. Nobody really can, which is...
What's a web of lies? CZ is telling you auditors are kind of bogus. They don't work all the time, and he's right factually on this. So how could that be a lie? He's right. Auditors are trouble. They don't understand what they're doing, and they have past history of passing companies that eventually crash. So what do you want more? What's a lie in this?
Actually, the scary part if you have your money at Binance, right? You want certainty. But let's try to put the web together here. So CZ says that if they had a $2.1 billion clawback because of their investment from FTX, which means FTX had $2.1 bill, because they were a fraud, there's a risk that the money they sent to CZ could be clawed back.
for this, CZ would have to be judged as being part of the fraud. Do you have any facts that allow you to accuse CZ of fraud in this affair? Because right now you're reaching the exact same threshold that I attained about you being a rapist. You have as much information about CZ being a fraudster than I have about you being a rapist.
His response is not, yes, we could handle a $2.1 billion clawback.
No one can handle a surprise $2.1 billion clawback. I mean, that would be miraculous if anyone could.
It's the following.
Would you be able to handle it if somebody asked you for $2.1 billion back? Would that be okay? Would you be able to...
This is all on the assumption that not only is CZ going to be judged for criminal fraud of bankruptcy court, that he basically can travel in the past and tell himself in the past that FTX is about to crash and do some dirty dealings in the process, but that they would also take back from him these tokens, which were at some point valued $2.1 billion, which are not anymore. Somehow they would collect from him the USD value of those tokens in a past bull run. It's so out there, it's ridiculous as a question. But the answer of CZ makes total sense here.
Still withstand things.
We're financially okay.
Including you have $2.1 billion to give away if somebody came to reclaw.
Hey, lady, do you have $2.1 billion to give away? Oh, but well, you're not financially okay then. You don't have $2.1 billion in your bank account? Wow, what a fraudster.
To claw that back, you'd still be fine?
We'll let the lawyer handle it. We are financially strong.
Now that's where she makes her little sigh. We'll have a lawyer handle it. We're financially strong. What CZ mean here? And it's too bad that CZ, with his Chinese language, gave her an opportunity for female dismissal. Because you have to know, never leave an opportunity for these women to have these woman moments of silence that everyone is like, oh my God, did he say something grave? No, he said nothing grave. He said, your old theory is based on me committing a crime. So yes, I'm going to have a lawyer if that happens. That lawyer would go to a court and would argue that I haven't committed a crime. And that lawyer would handle it. In other words, what CZ is telling you, lady, is that he's confident that he will not be found guilty of a fraud of $2.1 billion. Especially since the person who actually committed fraud is now in jail and will be prosecuted. That's who you should turn your attention to, SBF, and how he committed his fraud and what allowed it, not the guy who's in front of you who hasn't.
Which is no surprise, because he kind of forgot about that money anyway.
We actually
No, that is ridiculous. He's taking a past statement about the FTT money, which he forgot about in the sense that he didn't care about it, and he's transferring it to a matter of, well, you don't know what that money is. You've made that money disappear.
I actually kind of forgot about it.
But wait a minute, Kevin. CZ says they don't owe anybody money. They don't owe any person money.
The well-run crypto exchanges should hold user assets one-to-one. Very simply, Binance does not owe people money. Binance does not have loans from other companies, from other funds. We just don't have it. You can ask any fund in the ecosystem. You can ask any VC. We actually do not have VC investments. So we don't owe anybody any money.
So that's a very reasonable position. I don't know why, but Meet Kevin will be trying to ridicule this. That's a good position to be in. We don't have, you know, investors trying to get their share of every income we make. We don't have big debts or stuff that obligates us toward other companies. That's a perfect position to be in. Now look at what Meet Kevin says about this.
And we also do not have loans to other people that we depend on for our next payroll. So
clearly here CZ is making a reference to the situation between FTX and Alameda. FTX and Alameda were transferring money from FTX to Alameda. Alameda was betting it. Alameda was betting it in a way that was... They were getting special advantages on the FTX platform. They couldn't pop. They couldn't have a margin call. And so basically FTX was playing on the market in the form of some kind of loan that was given by FTX as an exchange. And that loan was given out of the customer's funds.
You don't have loans to pay your next payroll? Why are you even making that example?
He's making that example because so many companies out there are relying on loans to pay the running expenses. So CZ here is telling you it's a bad practice for a company to be running, to have its running expenses on loans, because that means you're not sustainable in your current status. That means you're just keeping your employees alive, but eventually you will run out of debt capacity and you will bankrupt. That is very important, Meet Kevin. I cannot believe that you're trying to laugh at this. This is, by the way, what was wrong with FTX. They were paying all of their running expenses on money they didn't have. So they were taking from the customer funds. Rodi Lassid says, people say Elon owns Twitter, but Elon borrowed money from investors and banks to make the purchase. If CZ didn't borrow money from outsiders to set up, then he has less liability than Elon does with Twitter. Absolutely. John Drake says, he just said they hold one-to-one and don't run the biz on credit. Sounds good. That's exactly what I want from an exchange.
Oh. Anyway, at least it...
This guy is making faces, but you're making faces on something that's not ridiculous. You look ridiculous in the process. We can see that you're being paid to cause a crypto collapse here. Who chose that title, Kevin? Is it you who chose the crypto collapse title? Or is it the guy paying you for your crap video?
Sounds good, right? So that sounds good. You could have assets backed one-to-one, but remember, you could loophole that pretty easily, because if you have one Bitcoin in your account for one Bitcoin you owe to a customer, sure, that's one-to-one, but if you've now taken that and leveraged it, then you would have a large liability, or maybe you're using derivatives like options to trade with.
He's trying to bring technical terms here that have nothing to do with the current situation, just to say that he said them. Do you have evidence that Binance is engaged in some leverage structure? There's no evidence for it. Do you have evidence that they are engaging in risky options bet? There's no evidence for it. All of these accusations you could do, by the way, to FTX, the company that you promoted, Kevin.
With that to try to make more money in the background. Now, CZ here says they don't owe anyone money, but how does that reconcile with the following that he says.
So note this. CZ said he doesn't owe anyone money. Now he claims we're about to see a big contradiction here. Get ready for the contradiction.
So we are working with firms to do the audit of financials, liabilities, etc.
So you don't owe anybody money, but you have to do liabilities catch up and you're working.
Yes, Kevin, you misunderstand what a liability is. It's not a debt. When you have a liability, it doesn't mean you owe money. When you have a liability, you have an obligation. There's various forms of obligation. If you had just Googled the word liability, you would have found that the first definition at the Free Dictionary, liabilities, well, the second definition, something for which one is liable, an obligation, responsibility, or debt. Notice how debt is just one of the values here. It can be something else than a debt. So you may not owe something while still having an obligation to do something. CZ has obligations to keep Bitcoin for people. He didn't take them as a debt. So because it's not a debt, there's no interest rate. He's not engaged in a contract where he has to pay them back on an every month basis. But it's still an obligation, so therefore, still a liability. You have to work on your understanding of basic economics term if you want to be the next YouTube celebrity talking about economics and the stock market or crypto.
Working with auditors to do that liabilities catch up, but auditors don't know what they're doing, even though a big four like Deloitte has an auditor that's able to audit their blockchains and their enterprise.
Absolute crumbling here from Kevin. He thinks that Deloitte is a blockchain company. Because earlier in the conversation, they said on the TV, they said on CNBC, that Deloitte was the auditor of Coinbase. Meet Kevin doesn't know this. Meet Kevin doesn't understand any of this. He thinks that Deloitte is a crypto company. Let me replay it just to... I'm not missing anything here. That's what he's saying. He says Deloitte has a blockchain. Don't you have your Deloitte coins? Hey, I want to connect to the Deloitte blockchain. How do we do this? Meet Kevin. The Deloitte blockchain doesn't exist. Deloitte is a boomer company.
But you have to do liabilities catch up, and you're working with auditors to do that liabilities catch up, but auditors don't know what they're doing, even though a big four like Deloitte has an auditor that's able...
Deloitte as an auditor.
...able to audit their blockchains and...
That's able to audit their blockchains. The blockchains of who? The blockchain of Deloitte?
Their enterprise, but for some reason, those companies don't want to work with you.
It definitely led to the disclosure that there had been money that was taken, but that disclosure raises lots of questions about firms like yours. Have you done the same? Has there ever been commingled funds? Have you ever taken any of the clients' funds and done anything with them? And again, why should we believe you? Because Sam Bankman-Fried told everybody, no, that hasn't happened, and he tweeted a lot of the same.
And now we entered the domain of, well, someone else committed a fraud. How do I know you are not a fraudster? Well, woman, someone else committed a rape. How do I know that you're not a rapist? The presumption of innocence is usually the standard. So I'm not going to enter an interview and accuse you of being a rapist because I don't have evidence that you're a rapist. And I may have evidence that someone else is a rapist, but I don't have evidence that you are. Ladazal says he meant Coinbase. Deloitte can handle Coinbase, therefore. Okay, well, his head is not clear about all this. But yeah, that's what he should have said. Coinbase.
Same stuff that you've been tweeting in recent days, which I think gets back to this idea of showing...
And she says you're tweeting the exact same things that FTX was tweeting when they claimed they were honest. How do I know that you're honest? It's like, hey, you keep claiming that you're not a rapist. That's exactly what a rapist would claim. How do I know that you're not a rapist since All the rapists I've ever met, they always claim that they haven't committed rape. And you're claiming that you haven't committed rape, so maybe you're a rapist.
Show me the money.
Yeah, so let's get back to show me the money part. So Calvin omitted the fact that there's no records. That's not a problem to him.
Totally dodged the question about whether or not they use customer money. Just starts talking about someone else. Classic.
He's not talking about someone else. He's talking about the transparency question of this woman. And it ultimately boils down to, okay, you guys want to know our total debt? Well, we're working on it. We have an auditor right now, and we're asking them to approve our numbers, and we're going to be displaying it on our website. So it's not as Meet Kevin claims, a detour around the question. It went down to the transparency aspect of the question. And what CZ is telling us is, look, this Kevin guy on the hearing, Kevin O'Leary, is asking for more transparency. Well, we're currently giving it. We're currently about to give it.
Look, I think there's just a very simple way to sum this all up. And we'll use the words of CZ himself to describe him.
I think he's lying about a bunch of stuff.
What a creep. What a disgusting creep. Meet Kevin finishes his video with an out-of-context quote. Oh, we're gonna describe him by his own words. Holy shit, this is what YouTube creation looks like when you are enslaved by some entity that wants you to push a framing. You're a disgusting individual, Meet Kevin. You are selling yourself, selling your audience. You sold them to the fraud that FTX was, and now you're selling yourself like a little bitch prostitute to whoever has bought this commercial product that your face is. And it's a low-quality commercial product. How do you feel about yourself? Meet Kevin. That was all I had to say about this this electronic Kramer, electronic Jim Cramer, a new rising star of the YouTube world of economics, who has told his audience to buy Tesla when it was at the peak. And now that Tesla is super low, he's telling them, don't buy Tesla. These people are hired to make you make the wrong decisions. The right decision these days is prepare to invest for the next bull run. Keep your coins, keep your keys. Don't trust central exchanges, although you can trust them interstitially. You can see them as a middleman for an operation that you need to do, but eventually you want to move out of it. That's how it is, and that's what he should be telling his audience if he was any honest. But they are on a campaign of getting the politicians to enact laws against crypto, and so they're putting all their efforts they can. Look at this. They even send actors to just rip the crypto world.
Today's actor, Ben McKenzie, is taking on a different role as an outspoken critic of cryptocurrency in the volatile market he says is driven completely by speculation.
The supposedly multi-trillion dollar industry was nothing more than a massive speculative bubble bound to pop. In my opinion, the cryptocurrency industry represents the largest Ponzi scheme in history.
What about the stock market? What about the stock market? It's like they cannot tolerate that they're losing control, that something else is going to be successful, something they don't fully control.
In fact, by the time the dust settles, crypto may well represent a fraud at least 10 times bigger than Madoff.
He tested
crypto. It's not. It's like crypto has failed this month. It's not SBF, it's not FTX, it's crypto, the big fraud that is crypto. Don't you know about it?
Testified before the Senate Banking Committee yesterday in its investigation into the collapse of the FTX crypto.
I can't believe that normie boomers are being exposed to this toxic content. Can you believe it? Can you believe if you're a normie boomer, you're being scared away from Bitcoin? you're not going to be able to participate to the next Bitcoin bull run because all you see on TV is this, and then perhaps you go on YouTube, but then you see Meet Kevin, and they're telling you, oh, the crypto world is in trouble. The crypto world isn't in trouble. It's your takeover of it that's in trouble. So you're going to keep smearing crypto because now it's been freed from your grasp. Fucking vultures. I cannot speak to this. White House won't say whether Biden will return donations from FTX Bankman-Fried. Oh yeah, by the way, this guy, we're going to take $2.1 billion back from CZ. But we're not going to take the money that was last minute sent, like days before the crumble, sent to the election of the Democrats. That money, we're not sending it back. That's the double standard, see? Is this lady on CNBC, why don't she interview Joe Biden about the money that came to him just before the FTX collapse? Two antithetical billionaires, that's an article at Zero Hedge. He properly grew up on the Stanford campus where his parents were well-known left-wing activist law professors. He went to a Tony prep school and on to MIT. So he's talking about Bankman-Fried here. And then they are contrasting with Elon. Elon on his adventures and Elon who appreciates honesty. It's a nice contrast article between a dishonest approach and an honest one. Meanwhile, Elon continues to be driven by emotions in his management of Twitter. He says, additional updates to the doxing policy. You cannot dox private individuals without their consent, even if the info is available publicly. So Elon was alarmed because some stalker has been tracking his private jet, but which turned out to be carrying his son rather than himself. And it led someone to track them from the airport and follow them. And when the guards of Elon went to see, hey, what's that car following us? It was a guy who was masked and he was like, I'm just following you guys. So he was trying to follow Elon, but ended up following Elon's son in the process. And Elon, again, moved by personal, individual life emotions, makes a new Twitter policy out of his personal issues. I'm okay with this. That's not massive censorship in my view. And I think it's fair if it's applied fair. It's fair if it's applied to everyone, because many times I've had this problem where people are publishing my info. Like when I was living in North Carolina, they had my address. They published my address for the purpose of getting me harassed. But then they argue, oh, well, the paper on which we published is a public paper because it's a tax paper or it's a court paper. They use these detoured way of getting you harassed, where they can argue, well, the paper wasn't a dox because it wasn't a private paper. But the fact is that the state keeps leaking our addresses. It's like they have websites where you can search people because of this. I'm happy that Twitter is taking the first steps. The next step would be to discipline our governments, because our governments regularly publish our true names, addresses on the internet. And for what? For putting us in trouble. Rodita Sid says, but JF, I need to know in real time the geographical location of Pamela Anderson 24 hours a day. Well, here's the thing, and that's where even if Elon is driven by the worst motivations, which is personal emotional reaction, Elon, that's how a female behaves. That's how women behave. Start elevating yourself to intelligent foreseeing, forethought of the incoming universe, rather than just, oh, this happened to me and therefore, ah. But Rodita said, if you want to track Pamela Anderson, you still can. But the policy works by saying you have to have a reasonable delay. So you're going to be able to track Pamela Anderson, but maybe 30 minutes late, 1 hour late. I don't know exactly what the policy will be, but basically you'll be able to keep living your life, but 1 hour later. You know how sometimes you miss a UFC event and you don't want to hear anything when you watch the news because you just want to learn it for yourself by rewatching the replay of the UFC event? That's a little bit like this. You're going to be living an hour late. Tillman says, JF, that is not all the guy did. He jumped on the hood of the car. Oh, okay. I haven't seen that part of the video. Sorry, I didn't know. I've only seen the part where he gets interrogated by the agent. But you're telling me that eventually he ends up jumping on the hood of the car? Sorry, but I missed that part. I don't. Maybe there's something that dragged my attention and I stopped watching the video. But yeah, I'll be looking at it then and see. Oh, there it is, actually. I have it here.
Yeah, for sure.
There is the video of the guy. So that was the guy following the son of Elon.
Gotcha.
What's your name?
Okay, well, in the video that I was watching, he doesn't jump on the hood of the car. So I guess that's why I was misled. I guess that's clipped from something else. All right. Didn't know. Some sort of sex slave, the son of Paul Pelosi's attacker, breaks silence. Fuels speculation. The son of the Paul Pelosi attacker, David DePape, says his father is not evil and is hardly a right-wing conservative. He also implied that the 82-year-old Pelosi may have invited DePape over for sexual activities. For all that we know, he was some sort of sex slave, as Elon Musk pointed out. Okay, that seems like speculation. It doesn't seem like we know, like your father was a sex slave. You're fueling speculation here by saying, for all we know, he's some sort of sex slave. Interesting speculation, but that doesn't get us further. If you're his son, I would have liked to know, like, can you tell us what you know about your father? Could he be a sex slave? But no, that's crap. I cannot work with this as a journalist. EU agrees to ninth Russia sanctions package after fierce division on food and fertilizer. Hitting stronger on Russia, I don't think is worth anything. I don't think it's going to lead anywhere. I don't think it's going to hurt them. So I think it's just countries posturing at this point. Eric Oliver sends 10 bucks. He says, not your keys, not your coins. Get Monero. Absolutely. Monero is a totally good option to be holding. Bitcoin also, if you don't care about the traceability of the paths of the Bitcoin toward you. Bitcoin is totally fine to be stacking. Monero, totally fine to be stacking. With the added advantage that the path of the money is private in Monero. Russia warns of unpredictable spiral if US sends Patriot missiles to Ukraine. Russia has issued a fresh official condemnation Thursday after reports emerged in major US publications this week that the Biden White House is to imminently approve sending Patriot missile batteries to Ukraine. The prior day, the Kremlin initially reacted by declaring any inbound Patriot shipments a legitimate target. So further warnings here by Russia, just like we had reviewed yesterday, they're saying we will shoot even if there's an American carrier bringing these missiles, we will consider them part of the Ukraine war. And the Biden admin moves to make expired COVID rules for healthcare workers permanent. It's ridiculous. It's like these people live in a parallel universe. The federal agency regulating workplaces safety has submitted a final draft of rules to the White House Budget Office for review. They're trying to set in stone the rules that we know haven't kept the pandemic from happening and have no potential to be of any function going forward. So just stop with your outdated rules, cancel them. They were demonstrated to not work. Fauci responds to DeSantis' call for investigation into COVID vaccines, and this will be our last news item for tonight. White House COVID advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci on Wednesday responded to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' recent call to investigate COVID-19 vaccines by saying he doesn't have a clue what the investigation would accomplish. I don't have a clue what he's asking for. Well, Fauci, an investigation on you would look into whether you have economically benefited from your decisions as a health director of the NSIA, the however they call it, for the National Institute of Health. An investigation into you would look at whether you have used your position in the media to push certain science over others, and that these science were particularly trending toward the invasion of individual medical rights. An investigation of you would look into whether you have fairly treated contrary science to your position, and whether you have let technocrats who had economic interest in masks, lockdowns, vaccines, convince you with bad science that you should force these things or suggest that these things be forced onto the public. That's what an investigation would look into. John Drake says the COVID narrative is under pressure. They could throw Fauci to the wolves. Yeah, they wouldn't care about throwing Fauci to the wolves, but the Democrats have some kind of sense of honor where they like to take people who have led to great services to them and elevate them, and keep them out of jail, not go after them. So they don't like dropping the people who have been favoring them under the bus. And I suspect they won't be dropping Fauci under the bus. Another thing we would be looking for in an investigation of you, Dr. Fauci, is the degree of proximity with your staff as they were telling Twitter to shut down American free speech. That would be an interesting one. That's it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you to Eric Oliver for his super chat and for everyone for the support through Subscribestar, Patreon, generous tips that you guys are sending me. Every time I wake up in the morning, some guys have sent tips and offline super chats. I am so thankful that you guys are keeping this show alive. Much love. And it's an exciting week next week as I will be speaking with Christopher Cantwell, if he can find a way out of jail and with a computer and a connection to the internet. I'm going to be with Mark Collett and David Duke, and I'm going to be with Millennial Woes. It's going to be cheerful for the Christmas season. Bye-bye. Thank you.